Escape to the River Sea by Emma Carroll. Read by Catherine Press. Chapter 1. Rosa Sweetman hated goodbyes. In her short 11-year-old life, and though she'd had more than her fair share of them, two had been particularly agonizing. The first, years ago, was when she'd hugged her mother and older sister, Liesel, goodbye on a dark, rain-blown station platform in Vienna. The other, just last month, had been at the gates of Westwood, waving off the 20 schoolgirls who'd shared her bedroom with their late-night gossip through the bleak years of war. She'd been lucky. All the girls had. To spend the war safe from enemy bombs here at Westwood, the rambling country home of a dimple-chinned Englishman called Sir Clovis, who'd suddenly found himself doing his bit for the war effort by taking in evacuees. Rosa had been the first, rescued from another station platform, this time Euston Station, in London. As fate would have it, Sir Clovis missed his train, and the person supposed to be collecting Rosa was struck down with TB. So, when he'd seen one little girl left behind, and the harried volunteers wondering what to do with her, Sir Clovis offered her a home at Westwood. The house itself was a vast, ugly brute of a place, drafty and mouldering, with battlements like rows of untidy teeth. There'd been no other children or animals here when Rosa arrived, just long, echoing corridors, and too many unused rooms. A few months later, war broke out, and when the schoolgirls were evacuated from their city homes, she was very glad. Filling Westwood with children certainly improved it. It hadn't stopped with children. One night, the local zoo was hit by German bombs. Since there were enough hazards during wartime without wild animals roaming the streets, it was decided the creatures must be shot or evacuated. Within days, Westwood's stables and paddocks, where the previous owner had kept horses, became home to two ostriches, a dozen snakes, 5 zebras, 10 meerkats, and a beautiful jaguar named Opal. Then, one calm June day, peace was declared, and everything changed again. There was no longer any reason for the children or zoo animals to be at Westwood. It was safe to go home. Despite the cheering, fireworks, and the celebration bonfire up on Westwood Moor, all Rosa could think of was being the only child again, rattling around Westwood all by herself. Her mother had promised she'd come for her.
"We'll be on the next train out of Vienna. Right behind you," she'd sworn that night at the station.
Yet 7 years and a world war later, Rosa was still waiting. She'd not received so much as a letter in all that time. Sometimes, she felt she was forgetting Vienna, because her old life existed only as smells or sounds. Apple cake baking, hoofbeats on cobbles. It worried her, too, that her own mother and sister wouldn't recognize her. She'd grown a lot in 7 years. Longer legs, freckles, hair a darker shade of brown. But Rosa's nature was a hopeful one. That hadn't changed. She told herself to be patient, even if Westwood seemed to be emptying quicker than water from a bathtub. As it turned out, work repairing the city's zoo took longer than anticipated. It was the following February before the animals finally went home. On the morning the zoo trucks were due to arrive, Rosa awoke to a noise like distant thunder. Out on the landing, the grandfather clock chimed 7, though it always ran 10 minutes slow. The rumbling was getting louder. Rosa sat up, listening. The sound was of vehicles coming down the lane. Throwing off the bedclothes, Rosa grabbed her blouse, cardigan, and skirt off the bedroom chair and stuffed her feet in her shoes. She hadn't expected the zoo this early. She'd hoped to give Opal the Jaguar one last breakfast. And running down the stairs, hair uncombed, cardigan unbuttoned, she didn't feel ready to say goodbye. When the zoo had first arrived, she begged the zookeeper's son